Sports Talk. Injury List.
Right, so I'm going to park that Kaizer Chiefs and TS Galaxy conversation for a little bit later. The open line will come back, so you will still get your chance to make your statement and have your say and join in on the conversation. But I want to move over to a man who's always in studio. And as I say every Sunday, I need to start cutting your check because this can't be life. Zach Van Eerden, thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. And yeah, we're going to get straight into it. It's the end of the year, well, footballing-wise. So we look next. We look forward to next season. There's some big names, big moves.
Yeah, so you know, it's end of season for a lot of players. They would have signed pre-contracts and deals to move sort of around that August period. The transfer window overseas opens up in a couple of days' time, I believe. But there's a few big names who won't be around in their current form next season. The likes of Vincent Kompany, we saw yesterday with that historic unprecedented treble for Manchester City. He's announced his departure from Manchester City, so he won't be there. So it'll be interesting to see how they fill that void.
Yeah.
With the likes of Nicolas Otamendi possibly moving to Atletico, I believe. So I wonder who they got in mind to replace, or do John Stones and players of that calibre step up and take over? We'll see. And Bayern Munich, end of an era for them. Arjen Robben and Frank Ribery, who've been so instrumental in the past few years. They've won so many titles, haven't they? They've won, I think, five in the last 7 years or something along those lines, along with the Champions League.
Serial winners.
Yeah, so that they won't be with Bayern next season. But a nice send-off yesterday. They got to play in their final game and they got to win the league as well. They needed to win that last game as well, or they wouldn't have. Gareth Bale today, I don't know if you saw the Real game, a horrible end of the season for Real. They really have had a terrible season, haven't they? You know, from
what was that score?
2-0. They lost 2-0 against Real Betis. And tough season, generally, to come off the back of 3 out of 4 Champions League wins, hoping to challenge Barcelona for La Liga. They didn't do that. They didn't continue their run in the Champions League. The team's looking old. Cristiano's moved on. Modric and co haven't looked quite at their best as well. Rumours of Toni Kroos leaving, rumours of Gareth Bale leaving. He didn't even get on the park today. He sat on the bench and watched them lose 2-0. So, anyway, it'll be interesting to see what pans out in particularly for Real next season. There must be strengthening. Zidane's back.
Yeah.
He's got 3 years to turn things around. I think you're looking at a whole new host of players coming into the likes of Bayern Munich and the likes of Real Madrid. So it'll be very interesting.
It's quite interesting, the setup that Zidane finds himself in. I mean, initially when he took over for his first ball, it was a good Real Madrid side that he took over. Still the same players for the most part, but just not the results. So he really needs to get their mind right, I suppose.
Yeah, I think he managed to squeeze the last blood out of that stone. I mean, they were really good side, and I think he managed to keep certain players performing up to the maximum all the way through. And I think losing the likes of a Cristiano Ronaldo is massive. I mean, he's not just a talent on the field, but I think the personality and the aura around him really keeps players going. You can see how he's taken that to Juventus. You know, they didn't do as well in the Champions League as they would have liked to. They lost to a very young Ajax side.
Yeah.
But
brilliant Ajax side.
No, definitely. Interesting to see them as well next year. I think one of the problems they're going to have is they're going to lose 3 key players to the likes of Barcelona and elsewhere.
Yeah.
There's rumours of Man United coming in for De Ligt and people like that. So, anyway, very interesting season ahead next year. Sort of, I think it's a change of the guard we're looking at.
Wow, and it's very interesting, the things that are happening in Europe. Staying with Europe, Harry Kane, he's included in the England squad.
Yeah, so there's Nations Cup coming up. It's at the semi-final stage, last 4 in that called a friendly tournament. Like
the friendly tournament.
the prep
the
for...
The almost serious tournament.
Almost serious. You know, so it's prep for the European Championship qualification and the World Cup thereafter.
Yeah.
So England are in their semi-final. Harry Kane hasn't played a game since February, I believe, somewhere about there, since he had that ankle problem.
Yeah.
And but he's in the squad, so yeah, let's see. It'll be interesting. It's nice to have AFCON on, and you know, a sort of serious batch of friendlies at least in Europe, along with these qualifiers already happening in South America. So
yeah,
we'll see.
So Maradona, there's a film made about him, I'm assuming, at the Cannes, and it premieres at the Cannes Film Festival. But there seems to be a problem with him.
Yeah, he's always in the news for the wrong reasons, isn't he? So if it's not powders and things going on in the World Cup and intoxications and hospital visits, he's back in hospital. He's having shoulder surgery, so he can't attend the movie premiere of his own movie. So you know, the same director, you might have seen the Senna movie.
Yes.
Same guy, he's doing that. He's done this biopic on Maradona. So it should be very interesting because it's like his life after football, his life in football was equally dramatic. So definitely one I'd like to catch, but he won't be there. He's having shoulder surgery.
I'm sure the story of his injury is quite a great one to be told as well. Unfortunately, it's not in the movie.
That might be volume two, you know, the sequel.
Absolutely. Let's move over to rugby. All Blacks' injury curse is no longer as bad as it was once feared.
Well, they're getting players back, but also losing other ones. So look, they're still sitting on about 13 out of 15 of their... We can't pick their starting 15, but I mean, if you were, there are definitely names that could definitely be in there.
For sure.
Sam Kane, you'll remember, had a neck injury, actually some fractures in there, playing the box last year in Pretoria. He's finally back. That's a good 8 months, I believe.
That's a long time.
A very long time, but at least he's back. We don't wish any ignominy on an opposing player. It would be better if they didn't have him when they played the box this time around, but he looks like he'll be back for the World Cup, and he came through most of that game with no further issues. But Kieran Reid, out of the Stormers game, you would have seen, they drew 19 all. He's got a shoulder and neck problem he's of his own, so just as players come back, they're losing more, so we'll see.
And it's a big loss. I mean, you never want to lose Kieran Reid, your captain. And speaking of captain, the Lions captain, again, I mean, we talk about him every week.
Yeah, so he set out. I think it was a more precautionary thing and more of a risk kind of thing.
Warren Whiteley.
Yes. And Malcolm Marks took over the armband against for their win against the Waratahs. So hopefully there's no further issues there. He did have a knee issue. He's had so many injuries in the last 2 years. We just hope we get him to the World Cup and he gets a chance to play. It would be absolutely criminal if injury sort of ruled him out of the, I wouldn't say his last opportunity, but possibly his last opportunity. And particularly with the number of injuries happening, you're wondering how long can it go on.
Mm. And so we've got the Springbok racing policy coming into effect, as it has done. It helped the Stormers out because the man who returned for the Stormers, well, one of the three of them, is the only one who scored for the Stormers, which is Captain Siya Kolisi. He is back. Delinda is also back. And Adoy, while for the Bulls, Dwayne Fitzmillan will be an absentee for...
Yeah, he'll play the first two. They played their first two games.
They've played one game.
Yeah, he's got one more, and then he has to come home, so... Yeah, I suppose you feel for the Bulls, and it's so tight in our conference. I mean, one win, you go from fourth to first at the moment. So they might miss him quite significantly because it might be those two games where they need to pick up some points to qualify for the sort of postseason, the knockout phase.
Yeah.
And he might not be there. He's been rested for the two last games of that four-match tour.
And then it's always good to have Kolisi, and we see what the Springboks, what difference they make as soon as they come back into the team. Cricket World Cup, a curse of the quicks.
It is definitely a curse of the quicks. I mean, you look at every major team, they're having problems with fast bowlers. We've had our own. I think on the good news for us, the Proteas, Rabada and Gidi are cleared to return. They will travel for the World Cup. Dale Steyn, still question marks. So hopefully he recovers completely for that. If not in time for the first game, for one or more of the games later on in the tournament, and hopefully no further problems there. Australia, Mitchell Stark's back from injury, but now they've lost G. Richardson, so he's out with a shoulder problem. That's big for them. He's definitely out.
So he's not making the World Cup.
He will not be there. He's been replaced by another Richardson, Kane Richardson, who will take his place. He's the older of the Richardsons. I don't believe they're related anyway, but anyway. And then to England, veteran James Anderson got struck on the knee with a ball. Inside of the knee looked really bad. He was down for quite a long period, for about almost 8 minutes, getting treatment for that. Gee. And then finally left the field. So we don't wish any ill fortune on him, but this is definitely his last World Cup. I can't see him playing another one. And he's one of England's record wicket takers with a ball, so in ODIs. So let's see if he's back in time.
It'll be a big loss. I mean, it is the 50-over World Cup, so you want your most potent striking bowler.
And the experience as well. I mean, these players, the likes of Dale Steyn and James Anderson, they bring massive experience to a team. So you can build a real good core of young performers around them. And also the information that goes to captains and decisions on field placements, all these kind of things are so critical as well, particularly in that format and with the kind of pressure involved. So you don't want to lose guys with more caps than runs, effectively.
Absolutely. And so days to go. Roland Garros is just around the corner, the pinnacle of the clay court season, but everyone is getting injured.
Yeah, it was looking really good for a while, but now we've got Serena with a knee issue. Roger, who's making a sort of giving us a last chance saloon on clay, looking to maybe pick up the Grand Slam, one more, at least challenge the likes of Nadal.
Yeah.
With what's coming up in a couple of days now, he's got a right leg problem from the Italian Open, so he played two games, won both two games, but he had to pull out of the third one with a unspecified leg problem. I imagine it's just a precautionary little calf problem or hamstring or something like that. Naomi Osaka's out with a hand, and John Isner out completely with a left foot injury. If you're getting injuries now, I just wonder, how far can you go in that tournament? Because clay's punishing. The tournament itself is a lot of games in a 14-day period. You really have to be on top of it to really perform at maximum. So we're hoping some precautions, particularly with Roger. We'd really like to see one more tilt from him. If he doesn't get through this clay court season, I can't see him playing again next year. I think he's really going to cut back and be playing likes of Wimbledon and the US Open only, just to preserve, squeeze out the last bit of juice out of his career and maybe get those last few Grand Slams and become untouchable.
Get those last few paychecks. So it's just gone 22 minutes past 8. If you've just joined me, I'm Buhle Madilini. You're listening to Sports Talk on 702 and Cape Talk. I'm chatting to Zach Vanier, an exercise physiologist. Zach, I want to go to this how to win at all costs about this hurdler who made sure that he doesn't come second.
I've been watching track and field for many, many, many years. When I was a youngster, I competed in track and field, so I had a natural interest. And next Olympics, I think, will be probably the 7th, 8th, maybe 9th that I've watched.
Yeah.
And I've never ever seen this, where someone literally dives across the line to win a race. This man's name is Infinite Tucker, interesting name.
Yeah.
Well. And you can Google that, I imagine, or get on your phone and have a look and go look at the pics. And he's trying to win the 400, which is the event that I competed in. I just know that at the end of a 400, there's really not much left. But he's managed to dive across the finish line just to grab the win. It's absolutely
he had enough
impressive.
To Superman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it was quite something. And then training tip of the week.
My training tip comes exactly from that. Sometimes we do have this win at all costs sort of mentality. Mm. So for the likes of Infinite Tucker, okay, great, you've got your... You've got your win. As a youngster, you probably get away with it without too much damage. But for guys like you and me, and you play a bit of rugby, that flourishing dive for
I'm
the trial line.
I'm still not going to do that.
You crack a rib, you dislocate a collarbone, you tweak something in your foot or your knee. So sometimes just need to be a little bit careful there. So be careful how far you push yourself. And I think there are times where you need to hold back, accept second place. Except not finishing a race, whatever it might be, do what you need to do to make sure you can come back stronger and do it all again tomorrow.
Because that's exactly what needs to happen. Before I do let you go, the PGA Championship is currently underway, and we saw Tiger Woods miss the cut a little bit early on. He didn't make it into the weekend. What do you think the matter was there?
There's so much hype after his Masters win. Everyone's expecting him to do really well in this one and sort of maybe close the gap on the record of slams he's the big tournaments. He's on 18, or he needs to get to 18. He's on 16. I just think he hasn't played in the last couple of weeks. I think that's key. It's all very well winning and then 3 weeks of no golf, and particularly in a sport like golf, it's so technical and being able to judge conditions and the small things are so important. I just think that the lack of preparation time, I think, really hurt him.
It looks like he's going to have to prepare for one major at a time, literally.
Yeah, but I think these two are really close together. Obviously, the PGA has been moved. It used to be the fourth of the big four. Yeah, so it's been brought forward. So he really had three weeks to get ready for this, and just not able to train at his full intensity. And he plays best when he's really in the groove. So he needs to play a couple of tournaments, particularly as an old man. Same as us. We need to just
get in the groove.
Get the mojo back. And I think he was maybe just lacking that preparation. Where's the likes of Brooks, who's how many ahead at the moment?
He's seven shots ahead.
Seven. Which is miles away. It's going to need an absolute collapse for him not to win this, to be honest, on the final day. Mm. He warmed up last week. He's played four tournaments between the Masters and the PGA. So you can see where it's all in the groove.
Yep, absolutely. Zach Van Eeden, always a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.